Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Let us commence today's teaching by reading from the book of Matthew chapter 7. I'll be reading from verse 24. But before I read it, let's just get the background. Now, this is the end of that very famous Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus taught a lot of things. He gave a lot of new understanding to the people concerning how they were to relate with God and relate with one another. Now, having said so many things, he began to speak about false prophets who will come to them in verse 15 in sheep's clothing. And what inside these people are actually ravenous wolves. And he said the way by which you will know them really is by their fruits, that is their personal life, what it is bringing out. You understand my point? When you see a man say he's a prophet, all right, a prophet of God, but is an adulterer, is a cheat, is a liar, is a thief, no matter how much miracles you see walking through his life, he said, don't trust him, all right, because he's a worker of lawlessness. He said, now bear in mind, that's in verse 21, that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Are you getting that point? Now, having said all of this, he now said in verse 24, therefore, now please notice the word therefore, and I want to start reading from there. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. In verse 26, he says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them or obey them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell. And notice, and great was its fall. Now, please, I was emphasizing the significance of that first word in verse 24 of this Matthew chapter 7, that it said, therefore. Now, why did he say therefore? I pointed out that it's because he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will experience the manifestation of God or be able to step into the kingdom that comes from above. Now, that is, it's not just the fact that somebody raises his hand and keeps on shouting in prayer and praying with a loud voice and keeping awake all night. It's not all those things, he says, that will make the person one that can experience God. Let me just quickly say this. When we talk about entering the kingdom of heaven, he wasn't talking about dying and go to heaven when you died. He's talking about the kingdom, because you see, God spoke through Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar. He said the heavens rules in the affairs of men. That is, God is in heaven, but heaven can have a kingdom that dominates on the earth. He said the Lord is enthroned in the heavens, but his kingdom rules over all. But there's a place, he was saying in effect, that a man steps into and we say he's experiencing the kingdom of God. And that was the explanation that Jesus gave to Nicodemus. When Nicodemus was wondering how Jesus could get all these manifestations coming out of his life, all right? He said, Jesus now answered him that except a man be born again, he cannot enter into this kingdom. I'm trying to explain something here. That when Jesus is talking about entering a kingdom, it's not just something that happens when you have died. There can be a manifestation of the kingdom of God on the earth. We've been talking about godliness. We say godliness is profitable unto all things. We read from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. It said, having promise for the life that now is and that life that is to come. So you see, this kingdom manifests in two levels. There is a manifestation in the life that is on this earth. And there's a manifestation in the life that is to come. Now, we've explained that. Let me just continue what I'm saying here. So you see, in this Matthew chapter 7, Jesus was now explaining that if somebody is going to step into this kingdom, it's not going to be because he shouts, Lord, Lord, that is, he calls himself a believer, he calls himself a Christian, or that he prays plenty and he raises his voice when he's praying. He said it will be because he founded his life upon these words that I have spoken. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And when the challenges of life came, all right, that house stood and he did not fall. Don't forget, what we have been discussing is the power of godliness. That is, godliness has a power. It has a promise. That we said that when God was creating man, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion. And we draw out a deduction from that. That is, before a man can have dominion, he must be walking after God's image and after his likeness. And when somebody is walking after God's image and after God's likeness, we say the person is walking in God-likeness, that is godliness. Are you getting that point? So if I do the things that God will do in that situation, then we are walking in godliness. Now, this thing that Jesus was saying here in this Matthew chapter 7, you see, is the end of a very long sermon, which you call the Sermon on the Mount, which he began from the book of Matthew chapter 5. Three full chapters there, when he was talking about being poor in spirit, those who mourn who shall be comforted, those who are gentle, and he described how people are supposed to walk, the children of light. He described many things. He would say things like, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But he's saying that real godliness is that a man does not even look lustfully at a woman in his heart. He will say, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your friends and hate your enemies. He said, but real godliness, that is a godlikeness in this situation, is that you do not only love your friends, but then you also have compassion for those who hate you. That's in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 44. So he will say, you have heard, but I say to you, that is, I'm giving you the foundation for stability. I'm giving you the foundation for enduring the times of difficulty, that I'm teaching you the principles of life that will constitute a defense for you in the time of adversity. So he described the time as of adversity, like when the rains will descend and the storms will come and the winds will blow and they will burst against a house. And now listen to me, these times will come. You cannot help it. They will come to you in life. It's part of life. In fact, Jesus said that the more you hear the truth, the more likely it is that persecution will come because of the truth that you have heard. So storms will come. Difficult times will come. The people that the Lord rewards in life are those who overcome the time of difficulty. He said, to him that overcomes, I will grant a crown of glory. To him that overcomes. Now, Jesus kept on emphasizing the book of Revelations about the issue of overcoming. I'm explaining that what makes you a person of power, what makes you a person of God, is not just that you never have troubles, but that you are able to withstand in the time of trouble. Are you getting my point? Now, Jesus, understanding this, was now teaching his people how to withstand in the time of trouble. Now, there are principles by which you will walk. And then in the time of trouble, you will find yourself standing. He didn't say troubles won't come. Let me say it to you again. A time will come, you might lose your job. A time may come, you will invest money in a business. Are you getting me? And then you will lose all the money. You will invest your heart, your desires in a relationship and invest your money and time and you care for somebody and the person will disappoint you and right before your eyes, he or she will marry somebody else. A time will come in which you will have planned all your life to do, okay, when I leave school, I will do this, I will go get a job here and then I will go abroad, and before your very eyes, all your plans will collapse and refuse to stand. Those times will come. They are the times of storm, they are the times of trial, they are the times of challenges that we will go through in life. Please, you cannot pray that they should not come, because most certainly they will come. In fact, Jesus, our Lord, who is our master, who we are modeling our lives after, the time came when he was going to face trial. He said it like this, will I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, no, I can't pray that kind of prayer, because I have understood that for this cause I came to this hour. Are you getting my point? Even though it was difficult when he was going to face the cross, he said, Lord, if there's any other way, I would have loved to avoid this cross. He said, nevertheless, let your will be done, not mine. That is, I have to pass through this cross. Now, get what I'm going to explain. Each one of us will pass through a cross in our lives. We can't help it. And God has not promised that you will never pass through a cross. The only thing he said is that when you pass through the floods, it will not overflow you. And that's what we are describing here. But that it's not if, it is when. The time will come when you will pass through the fire, he said, it will not consume you. It is not if, but when. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, because you see, the truth is that it is possible to withstand the storm in such a manner that it will appear as if it never came. It is possible to withstand the fire in such a manner that it will appear as if it never came. Don't forget the story in the book of Daniel of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were people who went through the fire. And the Bible tells us that when God was through with delivering them, when they brought them out of the fire, it was as if they never went through the fire, because even the smell of smoke was not found on their clothing. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain here? That is, it is possible to be built up so strong that the adversity will come and you will not even know it came.
No, really. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. There is what the Bible calls the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's in Philippians chapter 4. There is a position in life called the rest of God that you will enter into. That the peace of God that passes all understanding, all right, will so grab your soul. You will be at absolute peace in the midst of trials and people won't understand. That's why I say it passes all understanding. There was a man of God, I was listening to him a number of years ago. And he said that there was a time some people were speaking some evil things and talking bad about him somewhere. And one of his daughters in the Lord, she heard the thing and she felt very bad. And she came to tell him what she heard. And she was talking to him and said, look, well, and we all know how you suffered. We all know how you suffered. He said, he looked at himself and said, me, suffered? Is that so? So these people thought I was suffering. Now, what I'm going to bring out here is this. As a matter of fact, he must have gone through adversities. He must have gone through trying times. But because of the peace that was resident in his soul, he did not realize he was suffering. And that is what I mean when I say that you will come out of a fire and the smell of the fire will not even be found on you. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Now, so you can build yourself up to that level. And Jesus was teaching the people here how to build themselves up to that level. And he said, this is how it works. You will take these words that I have spoken and you will act upon them. He said, whoever does this is a wise man who built his house upon the rock. I want to get the point here. That is, if we want to stand in the day of adversity, if we want to be able to go through trials and not notice there were even serious trials, then we have to settle down first of all and build our life upon the rock. I'm talking about a solid foundation today. Listen to me. God is God. What I mean by this is this. He's a maker of the heavens and the earth. He is the one that understands how life is. And he has given us his word as a prescription manual, as a manual for walking through life in security. He has given us his word as a manual for protecting ourselves from all the troubles that Satan will try to bring upon us so as to make us fail. The word of God is the sure foundation. Let me explain something to you. David said, come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of God. Now, when I read that, something came to my mind. What that means is that what we know naturally is not the fear of God. It's something that we are taught. The fear of God is something we have to learn. How do I build a strong foundation for my life? How do I build a strong foundation for my career? How do I build a strong foundation for my marriage? How do I build a strong foundation for the lives of my children? Listen. How do I have success in all these things? Jesus said, it is by building it upon my word. That is, there are specific things I have said about each situation. A wise man, there's something I want you to understand. Now, a similar account is rendered in the book of Luke chapter 6. These words of Jesus, all right? Now, like the way it's rendered here in verse 46. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? He said, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. Now listen to me. Why I brought this one out is the fact that the man dug deep. The man dug deep. What it means is that he was looking for something. He was looking for the foundation upon which to build his building. What I mean is this. Anything you want to do in life, you must dig deep first. Looking for the foundation upon which to build it. Let me explain a principle to you. You cannot afford to make your life an experiment. You cannot afford to do things just assuming that they are going to succeed. A lot of times I talk to people. I'm happy when people realize that there are challenges in life. A friend talked to me once. He was planning to get married. And then we sat down to talk. And he told me things about the fears that he had. He told me the issues that were really plaguing his heart concerning this issue of marriage. And when he finished speaking, I looked at him and I said, oh boy. I said, half of your problems are already solved. I said, you're already on your path to success. He said, what do I mean? I said, because you have settled down and realized that this could be a problem. I said, because you have settled down and you have begun to dig, looking for the solution to what could be a problem. I said, a lot of people, you know, I said something last time, that you can find fools rushing into where angels fear to tread. The problem is that they are ignorant of what is going on. Do you understand what I mean? So they appear confident. Are you getting me? Now, so when I spoke to the man, I said, look, for you to know that there are issues. And let me tell you something about something like marriage as an example. There was a time that Jesus taught his disciples. And he told them that, look, a man cannot divorce his wife, that it is not permitted. And the reason he gave, of course, as you can read the story in the book of Matthew chapter 19, he said the reason is because at the beginning God made them male and female. And the people argued that, well, how come Moses allowed us to divorce our wives by giving a certificate of divorce? He said it's because of the hardness of your heart, that actually that's not godliness. The real godliness is that male and female created he them. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. And whatever God has joined together, no man shall put asunder. And anyone who divorces a woman and then the woman goes to marry another one has committed adultery. And anyone who marries the woman, and then we talked about that story, talking about the firm and permanent bond of marriage under God. That is a covenant, not an agreement. It's not a ceremony. It is a covenant. You're getting what I'm going to explain there. Now, having explained this to the disciples, you know what they said? They looked at each other in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 19. They said, if it is like that, it is better not to marry. Now, first day I read this, you know, that taught me something. These were adults. Peter already had a wife. You understand what I'm saying? These people had been married for a while. And they knew the challenges that could be in the matter of marriage. I remember a friend of mine, a colleague, a Muslim, one day he asked me about divorce. And I gave him the order of God, what God said as a Christian, and which is what I've just explained to you from the words of Jesus Christ, and that's what I believe. And he said, well, for him, divorce is a safety valve. That is, when things are rough, that is the only way you can get out of a difficult situation. And listen to me, that's natural. I want to explain something to you there. That is natural. That is how a natural person should take it. But when Jesus came to give us the way by which we withstand storms in life, you know what he said? He said, it is not like that. That you are not permitted to do it like that. That was what the disciples looked at and said, no. In that case, don't even enter into it at all. Now, I'm bringing out an issue here. So when my friend spoke to me, I said, look, for even understanding that there are issues, it shows you're already on the way. And I spoke and I told him, look, I have been married for a number of years and I can tell you indeed there can be issues. Indeed, there can be difficult times. I said, but that is the power of Christianity. There is a grace that is in Christ Jesus. You see, in your life, may you never believe in divorce. Because if you do, you will have occasion in which you want to divorce your wife. I mean, it's natural. Do you get what I'm trying to say? All right, it is natural. It will happen. Okay? But because you don't believe in it, you will discover that there is a sweeter joy beyond that point of the cross. That's what I'm trying to explain. Listen, we will go through difficulty in life. There's no difficult. Look, listen, I don't have enough understanding to preach that kind of faith to you. All right? That you will never have difficult times. Now, if you have a preacher who can preach it to you, go and meet him. I don't have that ability. I have heard him preach to me before that there will never be difficult times. But you see, I have looked through life. I have read the word of God. And it is not true. Anybody who is preaching that is either not telling the truth or he has not seen anything yet. Because God never taught us that one. What he said is that even though you go through difficulty, I will be with you. What he said is that even though you go through the flood, you will not die in it. What he said is that even though they throw you into the fire, I will bring you out without the smoke of the fire being smelled on your clothing. But that you won't go through the challenges, forget it. You can have a first class, all right, be very connected and not be able to get a job. You can have the best business proposals on the earth and nobody will listen to it and nobody will invest in it. You can be the most anointed preacher that you have ever seen. Yet nobody will listen to you. Nobody will give you a pulpit to preach. You will go through difficult times. Get ready. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? But what I want to preach more importantly to you is that you get ready not by being an ostrich, closing your eyes and hoping it will just blow over. No, by founding your life, by laying a foundation for your life upon the word of God. I give marriage as an example now. When my friend and I were now speaking, after we spoke at length, we spoke for over 2 hours that day. By the time we were through, he said to me, he said, you're the first person that's really helping me. Are you getting my point? Because it's most people tell you, don't worry, everything will be all right. I said to him, like, listen, my friend, the fact is that there will be difficult times. The fact is that you wonder sometimes why did I even bother. But the truth is that there is a joy that is behind every one of those experiences. If you go and read the Bible, Peter says something. Peter described the prophecies of the Old Testament. He said what the prophets did was to prophesy about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Listen, that's how life is. You will go through the sufferings of Christ, but there is always a glory after that suffering. Listen to me. That's the gospel of Christ Jesus. It is the ability to bring life out of death. Paul said there are times which will appear as if we have the sentence of death in our members. Are you getting my point? That there was a time, Paul explained, that we were so pressed. Listen, we were so pressed. We went through so much trial that we despaired of life itself. Listen, in the New Testament, nobody preached faith like Paul did. Go and read the book of Romans chapter 4. Paul preached faith. A lot of people believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Go and read Hebrews chapter 11. That was faith. Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Paul said, we have the same spirit of faith as him that said, I believe, therefore I have spoken. He said, we also believe and therefore we speak. If you are talking about faith, nobody preaches more than Paul. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? With all the faith, Paul looked up at the point in time. He said, I was so pressed in life. I wanted to die. I looked up and said, God, why don't you just kill me and spare me all this trouble? He said, but even though my outward man is perishing, he said, but from inside, listen, from inside, I am being renewed day by day. Are you getting my point? He said, even though we are pressed, we will never despair because we have found out that we have a treasure in an earthen vessel. And God, listen, that God, he said, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, dwelling in our members, will give life to our mortal body. That is what Christianity is. That is what the real faith of Jesus is. It is not that you will not go through adversity. It is because even though you go through adversity, you will come out on top. As Barack Obama was declared the winner of the American presidential election, I saw the face of Jesse Jackson. The man couldn't help but cry. He cried and cried. Tears were streaming down his face. Why? Because he did not know this would happen in his lifetime. A black man as an American president. Now, these were the young men around Martin Luther King those days. 40 years after Martin Luther died, fighting for equal rights by a peaceful method, a black man rose up and was declared the president of the United States of America. Listen to me, you will go through trying times. Are you getting my point? Yes, you will. But listen, even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil because the Lord is with you. You will come out of that valley on a higher mountain than when you entered into it. The peak at the end of your valley is higher than the one from which you entered into the valley. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? You may have lost your job. I am telling you the truth. If you will learn to give God thanks and realize that this is a temporary affliction. Paul said that our temporary afflictions, they are light and they are working for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. As long as we keep our eyes on Christ Jesus, upon the promises of God, which are the things that are not seen. Say, because the things that are seen are temporal. Listen to me, the prosperity you have today is temporal. The suffering you have today is temporal. It's where you are going tomorrow that we are talking about. And Jesus is saying, if you want to go somewhere tomorrow, greater than where you are today, then the first thing you do is that you dig deep. I was talking about that marriage as an example. What I mean by digging deep, I don't just settle down and say, there's no problem. I say, there is a problem. There could be a problem. The more importantly, what are the truths that we will found our life upon? For example, Jesus was teaching about marriage here. He said, the first thing you realize is that male and female created he them. And whoever will want a wife will be ready to leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. I remember one of the things I used to teach my wife. I said, the things I'm teaching today about marriage, I didn't learn it from human beings. I didn't learn it from ideas that my father had, or my relatives had, or my village people had. No. I said, I'm telling you what I read from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. From day number one, I said something to all my friends, those who wanted to go hear it. I said, number one, once you marry, your wife is more important than your mother. Any mother that doesn't like it, it's too bad. You didn't create marriage. God did. I remember I said it in front of one of my colleagues once. He said, what are you saying? This is my son that I'm suffering over. I said, listen to me. It's unfortunate. It's your lot in life to suffer over those children. That's just the way it is. I am also suffering over my own children now, if you don't know what I'm going to explain. But then a time comes in which a son departs from his father and his mother and is joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. I suddenly become not as important to him as his new wife is. That's a matter of life. My wife is more important to me than my parents, than everybody else. On a scale of preference, she's number one. Because the Bible says, no man hated his flesh because she's my flesh. Listen, if you don't want to build on the principle of Jesus Christ, then don't expect this victory. Don't expect the glory that he promises. Like I said the other time, one of the problems that people have in life, young women specifically now, when it comes to this marriage issue, is that they don't understand that when you say, yes, I do, you have lost your own control over your life. You don't know that. That is why sometimes I tell women, you want to marry? Don't marry a man you cannot trust to make decisions for you. And once you have married him, you must trust him to make decisions. If you think you are smarter than a man, don't marry him. Now listen, I'm not saying if you are more educated than a man, I didn't say that. Being more educated and being smarter are two different things. Apart from that, thinking is the more important thing. If you have believed in yourself, I'm sharper than this guy, I'm smarter than him, I'm wiser than he is, you'll be doing yourself a lot of disservice to go to the altar and let somebody join you together, because calamity from day one will be your portion. Why? Because it is not within his soul to take instructions from you. You are pushing him into the hands of other women when you start doing that, when you want to be lord over his life, when you think you are smarter. Listen, it is not because he's a smarter person. You may have a PhD, meanwhile all he has is a school cert. And you get what I'm going to explain? But the fact is that he has an anointing to be head of your home that you don't have. Now, I'm telling you something here. That when we're talking about digging deep, it means we scrape off all the dust on top. And you get my point? We scrape off all the earth with which the foundation of the word of God has been covered. He said, you have made the word of God of no effect by your traditions. You scrape all those things off. When you have scraped them off, then you are ready to build upon a foundation of the word of God. And that, he said, is the way by which you will go through trials and they won't overcome you. That's what I'm talking about beginning from today. Laying a foundation for your tomorrow. Laying a solid foundation for everything you want to do in life. Some time ago, I preached a message which I called Cooperating with the Seasons of Life's Adventures. Essentially, what I'm doing now is developing that first season again. Because then I said there are many seasons in life. I said the first stage in life is the stage of sit down and count. And what do you do in the stage of sitting down and counting? You start learning the principles by which life is supposed to be lived. More importantly, which is what I'm teaching now, is you would dig into the word of God. Remove all those surface coverings that will not let you know what God is saying. They are the traditions of men, traditions of your village. You've gone to the market to go and learn trading. Over for 6 years, they have taught you nothing but how to cheat and make quick money. As a child of God, when you want to build your own business that's going to succeed, the first thing you do is to scrape off all those things and say, where is God's word? I was meditating this afternoon and I said to myself, listen, a lot of people claim they are doing business are actually not doing business. They are just trying to exploit people. And that is why their business won't endure. Let me tell you how you build a business that will endure. Settle down and say, how can I help? If your focus is not on helping, then you have a problem. And you get what I'm going to say? The foundation for success in business, Jesus taught it also. Jesus knows about every aspect of life. If you want to have success, this is the way of success. This is the way of success. It is to remove everything that's on the surface. To dig deep into the earth until you reach the foundation of the word of God. All those dirt that has covered the truth of God's word, you scrape them away. They may have come from your own personal experiences, from your influences, all right? The people who have influenced you, your father, your village people, your tradition. In our place, this is how it is done. You scrape all those things away and say, God, how did you say in your word it is done? Let me hold on to that, because that is my security in the day of trials. He said, he shall be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord, he said, is his treasure. I hope you've gotten my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.